So going back to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're speaking about divine order. And in divine order, we recognize that Christ is coming forth in every member of the body of Christ. We function in His Lordship and under His Lordship. It's not that He's Lord in heaven, but that He is the Lord in us. How can you know whether you are in subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Well, I would ask a couple of questions. Do you find yourself hungering after Him with all your heart? Can't get enough of Him in your life? The concept that the Lord is up in the heavens somewhere, is that concept eluding you, evaporating, because you're aware of His life and presence in you? Do you find yourself thinking thoughts that you never thought of before? Are you becoming more and more aware of His presence and His life in you? If these things are true, then you have entered or are entering the realm of His Lordship. He is the Lord of the whole earth. He is the Lord of all people, even people that are not Christians. He is the Lord of all Christians. But that doesn't mean that all Christians are under His Lordship in the sense that they are submissive to His will. How can you know whether you're in subjection to His will or not? Well, do you find the Lord crossing your will in almost everything that you think and do? Because that's what happens when His will begins to come forth in your life. You find Him crossing your will, the things that you would do. So I think we can easily see that to be in the realm of His Lordship, where He is Lord in us and through us, is very different from the common expression or the of Him being Lord. There's a difference. We pointed out this morning that it's important to understand the will of the Lord. And you begin to understand His will when you're under His Lordship. And that we're not to be drunk with the wine of the world, or the wine of worldliness that causes one to be numb to His presence. It's a shame, but many Christians today are numb to the presence of the Lord. They don't realize that He is here. And there are many that are yet not filled with the Spirit. And there are many that are not involved in verse 19, speaking to themselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I dare say many would say, well, how do you do that? Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What does that mean? How do you do it? Well, when you're there, you won't have to ask. It's something that just happens when you have brought your life in submission to Him. And giving thanks always for all things. That's not a common thing for all Christians. But those who are really under his lordship and are in submission to him are realizing that everything they go through is for their own benefit, is for their own blessing, for their own spiritual growth. Therefore, whatever it is, they can give thanks for it. And then they begin to find themselves recognizing that the Lord is not only coming forth in their life, but he's coming forth in the lives of their brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And so they begin submitting themselves one to another in the fear of God. It's like in the book of Revelation. John heard the voice of the Lord and he fell down to worship. And the voice said, "Don't worship me, I'm one of your brethren." But Christ was in him. And he probably didn't sound anything like John remembered the way Christ talked, but nevertheless he recognized the spirit that was in the words that were spoken, and he fell down to worship, you see. And why did he do that? He did that because he was in submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ, wherever he may be found. To the voice of the Lord within you, or to the voice of the Lord within someone else, when you come under his lordship, then you become one that can hear his voice. It's just something that happens through your submission to his lordship. Then he begins to get into the divine order of the family. In verse 22, the scripture says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord." Your submission to your husband should be identical to your submission to the Lord. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." In everything. Then verse 25 says, "All right, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Back in the 70s, there was a number of churches that had decided that they were going to experience this kind of divine order in their homes. And so the husbands started demanding that the wives be subject to them in all things. But it nearly tore up the church.
Imagine.
This only works in the realm of submission to his lordship. It does not work on a soul level. People are ordinarily soulish. Christians are soulish until the self-centeredness and selfishness has been erased from their lives. So the divine order that we find here for the family in Ephesians chapter 5 can only be experienced and realized among those that are in subjection to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now first he says that the wife has to be in submission to the husband and everything. Then in verse 25, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now, while he says, first, that the wife must be in subjection to the husband, that doesn't mean that that's the first thing that happens. Because the husband and the father, being the head of the family, in divine order, is responsible for the divine order in the family. And the husband that was set about to make his wife subjected to him in this way, without him also being in the same submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we'll find that it just won't work. How can a husband bring forth a wife that's in subjection to him in the way that the scriptures speak of here? It happens when the husband loves his wife in the same way that Christ loves the church, you see. In other words, when Christ is Lord in the husband, the wife is not going to have such a difficult time in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in him. But if he's not the Lord in the husband, it just isn't going to work. But what I want to point out to the fact is that the husband, being the head of the family, has the responsibility to bring his whole family in divine order. And it's not done with a heavy hand. How is it done? By loving his family in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You catch that last part? Christ gave himself for the church. Therefore, the husband gives himself for the family. What happens when he does that? Verse 26 happens, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So you see, the responsibility is upon the husband, upon the father. The cleansing and the sanctifying. You said, well, but only the Lord can cleanse and sanctify. Yes, well, the Lord and the husband. God sets up divine order because he's determined that's the way it's going to work. And we have to be obedient to the way the Lord set it up. And here it is in black and white. Lo and behold, I didn't come up with this. I read it right here. So, the family, the wife, must be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water by the word that is flowing through the husband. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. But see, while all this responsibility is upon the husband, yet it's Christ that's doing the work. But he needs channels to flow through. And that's what divine order is all about. That he, Christ, might present it to himself, a glorious church, that he might present the divine order among the many members of Christ to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I remember in churches that I was involved in from the time that I became a Christian and didn't know my right hand from my left, or 1 foot from the other, that we talked about this thing of becoming a glorious church, not having spot, a wrinkle, any such thing, but that it be holy and without blemish. How does that happen? It happens in the realm of divine order. It does not happen where everybody's doing their own thing. We've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches that have set up the order or the system of their religious organization according to the dictates of what they want, and things aren't happening. Why is the church world today so impotent, not moving, and the things that it should be? Because it's not in divine order. Divine order is not something that you can come into if you so desire it. Divine order is a must, because He is not the Lord over you until you do. And I would add this, that this Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is written for those who are under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not written for just every Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's not written for just any old Christian that feels like he can do things his way. I've got a right to do it like I want to. I can be involved in any kind of religion. I can find one that I like, and if I don't find one I like, I'll begin another. See, that's called rebellion, doing your own thing. What it's really called is sin. It's iniquity, and it's an abomination to the Lord. What does the Lord like? He likes this divine order, because this is the plan that He has set up in order. He loves the church, and He wants it presented to Himself, a glorious church. Not all spotted up and wrinkled or any such thing, but He wants it to be holy and without blemish. Therefore, verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. What's happening in this oneness, in this divine order? The husband and the wife become one. I don't know how many brothers that I've met through the years that want a ministry, but they don't have a oneness with their wife. Impossible. Because if the oneness between the husband and the wife is not there, then there is no ministry. Because true ministry operates only in divine order. You say, well, there's a lot of people out there involved in ministry. I'm talking about ministry that works. I'm talking about ministry that God is pleased with. You know, there's a difference. If the husband and wife are not one in this divine order, there won't be any ministry. And that's why I say over and over again, ministry begins in the family. Your relationship with your wife, your wife's relationship with you, the oneness that's created under His Lordship, the oneness that comes with the children, is all very, very important. Because it's through this divine order and through this oneness that the church will be presented unto the Lord as a glorious church, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, but holy and without blemish. Therefore men, verse 28, ought to love their wives as their own body. Why does it say, therefore men ought to love their wives? Because it don't happen without that. The husband loves his wife. That creates her. I dare say that the majority of husbands got no more earthly idea what the wife is supposed to be in God than anything. Or that the wife has any revelation or understanding of what her husband is supposed to be in the Lord. You see what I'm talking about? Well, how do we get this revelation? You get the revelation by setting aside selfishness, self-centeredness, and bring yourself under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and enter into the sphere, into the realm where divine order is working and the Lordship of Jesus Christ is present. That's how it happens. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Why? Because they become one. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Now here's another thing. How many Christians, when they think of the Lord Jesus Christ, they think of Jesus the Nazarene, the man. And he happens to be gone right now, but one day he's going to come back. That's not the revelation of his lordship. That is not the realm of divine order or the realm of his lordship. We are members of his body. And his body is here on earth. And guess what? His head is attached to his body. His lordship. You see, we're talking about a different realm, a different revelation, a different understanding of what it means for him to be Lord. For us to run around doing our own thing and calling him Lord, it doesn't work. And you'll never be successful in a walk with God like this. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now Paul said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He is joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A revelation of the Lord will enable you to see your wife as the Lord says she is, and the reverence that the wife has for her husband. This is what's created in divine order. Now, beginning with chapter 6, Paul continues on by talking about the divine order of the whole family and how that the children should obey their parents. They should honor their father and their mother. Do you think it would be anywhere close to accurate to say that the majority of Christians today are having trouble with their children? With their kids, rebellious, out of order, bucking everything that their family says that they should do. What's the answer? The answer is for the husband to enter in to a submissive relationship to the Lord, so that the Lord can be the Lord in him and through him. And that the wife, in her submission to the Lord and to the husband, creates a oneness. And out of that, you will begin to see God function in that family in such a way as to create the children into what they should be. It begins with the husband, with the father. Now, if you husband and fathers out there, if that don't shake you up, it shakes me up. It makes me realize the responsibility that I have. Because if I'm not in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, how in the world can I expect my wife to be or my children to be? It begins with the husband. All right, this is scripture. Comes to me real quick. Oh yeah, chapter 3, verse 1 of James. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. In other words, you think it's a big deal to be a pastor? There's a tremendous responsibility upon men that are pastors. And if you mess up, and I'm going to say probably all of us have at some time or another, but there's a tremendous responsibility to be a pastor. It's a tremendous responsibility to be a husband. Now, if you don't believe that, try loving your wife as yourself. Try loving her in the same way that you love the Lord. Change that. Try loving her in the same way you're supposed to love the Lord. The husband, the head of the house, has a responsibility. How many wives take their children to Sunday school and drop them off and expect somebody else to train them? And the husband all doing his own thing at the same time. Happens a lot. The husband and the father has a responsibility for the house. And when he submits to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, hungers after the Lord that he might become what he's supposed to be, the Lord begins to move, because God does it. What does it say in the Psalms? The Lord builds the house, and he builds it through divine order. Okay, we're going to stop here. But the problems of the family begins with the head of the house. It's his responsibility. Once he begins to walk in what he's supposed to and to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, things begin to happen. Because this divine order is what God has set up. Divine order can be the savior of the household. It can be the savior of your life, because it enables him to sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water through the word. Amen.